Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1 is called the Happy Psalm. And it really is the gateway to all the other psalms. The other psalms are kind of just an expansion of Psalm 1. God wants our lives to be blessed. He wants our lives to be fruitful. He wants our lives to be refreshed. And He wants us to be just blessed of Him and follow the godly path and enter into life and not have to go the way of the ungodly and find ourselves in destruction. And so we find the themes of all the psalms really kind of just laid for us in the foundation of this first psalm known as the Happy Psalm. But this is a psalm that speaks about a man, verse 2, who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. God's desire for us as believers is that we have a delight in His Word. A lot of us, it's just a duty to read the Word, or a duty to study the Word, or a duty to study the Bible. God wants us to delight in His Word. Have you ever opened the Bible and think, okay, it's the thing to do, it's time to read, I'm a Christian, you know, I got to read the Bible. You know, it's really sad when we fall into that kind of a situation and we do not really have a delight for God's Word. Now, I want to point out four things, and I'll come back to verse 1 and 2 in the idea of walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful, and delighting in the law of the Lord. Those are the conditions we need to meet in order to derive the benefit and the blessings that God has promised for us in this psalm. God's promises are often conditional. By that I mean that we have a condition that we have to fulfill in order to claim the promise, in order to benefit from the promise, in order to be recipients of that promise. Whenever you find a promise, you need to ask yourself, what condition do I need to fulfill in order to claim that promise or get that promise or apply it to my own life? Well, we'll come back to that at the end. I want to give you the four things that God's Word can do for us as believers. The first thing God's Word can do for us is bring us happiness. Verse 1, blessed is the man. The word blessed means happy. It has the idea of a blessed lot in life, or oh, how happy and to be envied is the man. The Hebrew has the idea of it is a happy man, and it's a man or a woman who is to be envied. When I say man, I mean mankind, so I'm talking to the ladies too. But this is a happy person. You see, I thought, you know, as Christians, we weren't really promised happiness. This is a happiness that is really a blessedness. It's not a happiness based on happenings, circumstances. When things are going my way, I'm happy. When things are not going my way, I'm not happy. When I have the things that I want, I'm happy. When I don't have them, I'm not happy. This is a blessedness that comes to us from God. This blessedness comes to us as we meditate and as we apply God's Word to our lives. You want to have a happy life? You want to have a blessed life? It starts with meditation upon the Word of God, and it starts with application, applying the Word of God to my own life. Psalm 112, verse 1, I'll just read it to you, says, "Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." There it says that the man who delights greatly in the commandments of the Lord shall be blessed. Psalm 119, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord." And then we have Psalm 119, verse 2, "Blessed are they who keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart." Then Proverbs 29:18, "He that keepeth the law, happy is he." You see, if we would just begin to meditate upon God's word and then apply it in our lives, God has actually promised us that we would be happy. Can you say tonight that you have a happy life, that you have a blessed life? Maybe if you feel that your life is not fulfilling or blessed, it's because you are not meditating in the Word. You're not delighting in the Word. You're not studying the Word. You're not obeying the Word and applying it to your life. The second thing the psalmist tells us is the result of God's Word in our life is fruitfulness. Notice in verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and everything he does shall prosper." Every Christian should desire to be fruitful. Now you say, what do you mean by fruitful? You know, there's a lot of fruit cakes out there and a lot of fruity people, but what do you mean by God wants me to be fruitful? It's a metaphor, it's a picture of a fruitful life or productive life. We use that term commonly. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Now, doesn't that make your mouth water? I love fruit. I love to eat grapes. I love plums, love peaches, love pears, love apricots and bananas. I love apricots too. They're fine too, whatever they are. I love fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. And my relationship to God is love, joy, and peace. Now, who wouldn't want those things in their life? You say, well, I don't want them. I'm bummed and I'm into being bummed. I like being bummed. I'm kind of like into being, you know, just bummed out. And there are some people that just like to wallow in their depression, in their bumness, if you want to call it that. But if you want love, if you want joy, if you want peace, then it's the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God in your life. Fruitfulness is character. Then he says the second triad is long-suffering. It is gentleness. It is goodness. Now again, doesn't that make your spiritual mouth water? Wouldn't you like to have long-suffering? The word has the idea of long-fused. You know, you don't blow up all the time. You don't freak out on all the little things that go wrong in your life. So many times we're irritable. And we do not really have long suffering. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love suffers long and is kind." We should desire to be long suffering, gentle, and filled with goodness. And then the third triad is faith, meekness, and self-control. Now, I believe that you can take Psalm 1 and it says, "Blessed is the man, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of scorn, delights in the law of the Lord, and he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water, whose leaf bringeth forth his fruit in his season." And that fruit, biblically speaking, is godly character. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. that self-control, that meekness. And the word faith there in listing the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. You see, these fruits that are listed there, and some see them as just fruit, that is love, and the others are the outgrowth of love, but they do break into three groups of three. I mentioned that as I went through, three triads of three, or three groups of three. The first has the idea of my relationship to God, love, joy, peace. Then my relationship to myself, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And then my relationship to others, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Now again, the Spirit of God who produces this fruit does not work in a void or in a vacuum. You can't toss your Bible over in the corner and just say, "Come, Holy Spirit, and produce your fruit in me." What you do is you open your Bible and you read the words and you get on your knees and you say, "Come, Holy Spirit, take the Word of God and make it alive in my heart. Use it to change me, to rearrange me." I don't think there's anything more awesome than the picture of a person on his knees or on her knees over an open Bible. You know, if any of you guys paint or are painters, to me, that's the picture you ought to draw. A picture of a person with the Bible open, kneeling over that Bible, and it's just the prayer and the Word of God are the dynamic duo. That's it. How often do you open your Bible and get on your knees and say, "Lord, speak to me"? This book is God's Word, and when God speaks, He speaks through the pages of Scripture. That is one of God's chief means of revelation, through the pages of Scripture. And so the fruit of the Spirit, other fruit that is mentioned in the Bible, Romans 6:22, you have your fruit unto holiness. The Word of God, as we saw last week, can produce holiness. Jesus said, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." If you want to be a holy Christian, you need to be committed to the Word. The fruit of the Spirit is also, Hebrews 13:15, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. When you come on Wednesday night or Sunday or whatever day of the week you sing and you worship the Lord, and worship is not just singing, because they do sing in nightclubs and bars as well, and they're not worshiping when they sing. But worship can take the form of singing. I can worship God in song. But you know, the very purpose for which God saved you was that your life might bring forth fruit and thus bring glory to God. That's the purpose for which God saved you. God saved you so that He could have fellowship with you. Yes, God saved you because He loves you and He wants to take you to heaven with Him, but He wants to produce fruit in your life so that He can be glorified. He saved you so that He could live through you. Others could see Him in you. So that your life could be a theater by which others could see God displayed. And that's what our desire should be, is that God produces fruit in us. John 15:16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained that you should go forth and that your life should bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain." God wants our lives to bear fruit. Now, along with delighting in God's Word, if we want to produce fruit, there are three simple things as well we need to do. I want to mention to you. The first is, as well as reading the Word, we need to die to ourselves. John 12:24 says, "Except a corn of wheat," or the idea is there a grain of wheat, "dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it" what? "Brings forth fruit," Jesus said. And so not only do I need to delight in the Word of God and ask the Spirit of God to work in my heart and life, but I need to die to myself as I come to the Word and surrender to His Holy Spirit. And that's the second thing I need to do is to yield to God's chastening and purging in my life, or pruning in my life. He wants to purge out sin, but He wants to prune me. And that is Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the moment seems joyous, but it does seem grievous. But afterwards, it yields what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. So in order for God to produce fruit in my life, I have to yield to His chastening hand, to God kind of pruning me, cutting me back. In John 15, where Jesus talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me bringeth forth fruit. So there's that abiding concept. But He said, the Father will prune you in order that you may bring forth more fruit. Now, we don't like that pruning process. We don't like the cutting. We don't like the pain, but yet it is for the purpose of producing fruit. If you're going to have a lot of grapes on your grapevine, what do you need to do? Prune them. Even your flowers, if you want your flowers to grow thick and nice, you got to prune the bush. You got to cut it back in the right time, in the right way, so that it will produce those lovely flowers. You also, thirdly, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if your life is going to bring forth fruit. And this, I believe, is vitally linked to the Word of God. Can a person be Spirit-filled and not meditating on God's Word, not reading God's Word, not studying God's Word, and not applying God's Word? The answer is no. It's funny, though, there are some people who think that they can neglect the Bible and all they need is a dose of the ghost and they'll be set. Now, I'm all for the Holy Spirit. We would be lost without the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, without the Holy Spirit, wouldn't do us any good. There'd be no illumination. There'd be no way that I could apply the Word of God to my life without the Holy Spirit. No understanding without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, as well as the Son and the Father. But we need to yield to the Spirit of God and allow the Word of God to fill us. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing you, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And the same results that Paul describes in Ephesians 5:18 of being filled with the Spirit are the same results that take place when our lives are filled with the Word of God. When the Word of God fills our hearts and fills our lives, it produces the same kind of results as does the Spirit of God. So you may be tonight wanting to grow as a Christian. You may wanting to be more powerful as a Christian. You may want to be more, dynamic as a believer. You can't do that and neglect the Bible. You can't do that and neglect the Bible. You say, well, I pray and I ask the Spirit to fill me every day. That's wonderful. But you need the Word of God also to fill your life. Let the Word of Christ, which is a term for the Word of God, dwell in you richly. And it will produce the songs and the singing, the melody in your heart. Produce a submissive wife and a loving husband and obedient children. You compare those passages with Ephesians, with Colossians, and you see that to be Spirit-filled is to be Word-filled. We need both in our lives. We need both in the church in order to grow up and produce fruit. So the Word of God can bring happiness. It can bring fruitfulness. The third thing the Word of God can do is bring freshness. Notice in verse 3 once again, He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But notice this phrase, His leaf also shall not wither. Don't you like that? The Christian can be an evergreen. He doesn't need to have his leaves turn all brown and wrinkle up and fall off the tree. But the Christian, planted in the Word of God, yielded to the Spirit of God, his life can be like an evergreen tree. You know, you see these older saints that have walked with God for years, and there's just a vibrancy there, and there's an excitement there, and just an enthusiasm there. We have some of them in our church that every time I see them, it just blesses me. There are some elderly saints in our church that just I love to see them, love to be around them, love to talk to them. I love to just have their joy rub off on me, you know. And I know they're getting old, and I know there's a lot of aches and pains and stuff in their body. But man, they just glow with the joy of the Lord. And you think, what's the secret? Why aren't they all grouchy and complaining and grumpy and all cantankerous, you know? Because they've been planted in the Word of God. They have been rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Their leaf is not withering. Often their minds are sharp and alert and clear because the Word of God has been actively, you know, working in their hearts and their lives for many years. The word wither in Webster's dictionary is defined as to fade, to become dry, to become sapless, to lose vigor. Does that perhaps describe your Christian life? Could you say your Christian life has withered? It's faded? It's become dry? You know, you often hear people say, oh man, I'm really dry. I'm really drying on how dry I am, you know. In the Lord. I'm really drying up. Well, what's the problem? Often they'll blame it on the preacher. It's that lousy preaching. I wish he'd just, you know, get some new sermons or something. Boring church, or, you know, it's this or that. Often it's just that we are not really planted in the Word of God. We are not feeding daily on the Scriptures. We don't have a daily diet of the Word of God. What would happen to you physically if you didn't eat daily? You'd dry up. You'd wither up. You'd fade. If I don't eat, I start to fade. And so spiritually, I need to feed on the Word of God, or my life becomes sapless, or it becomes dry. I lose my vigor. Listen to Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. The psalmist says there that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Ain't that great? In their old age, they'll bring forth fruit. You know, people think, well, I'm old. I just want to wither up and die. But a man or a woman that's planted in the Word of God in their old age, they'll bring forth fruit. And the Bible says there that they shall flourish in their old age and be fat. All right. God, make me spiritually fat. Make me flourishing. Help me to be planted in your Word. Now, why do Christians often wither? Well, since I'm talking about the Word, I think that that's one of the chief reasons Christians wither. It's a lack of depth in the Word. You remember Matthew 13, Jesus gave the kingdom parables, and the first he gave was the parable of the sower and the seed, better described as the parable of the soils, the four soils. And you remember how some of the seed fell on what? Shallow ground. And on that shallow ground, the seed would warm up very quickly and germinate, and it would sprout. But when the sun was coming over and it would beat upon that little plant, because it lacked depth, it lacked moisture. It was not getting moisture because there was no deep root system. And so the sun withered the plant, withered it, and it died. And it didn't bring forth fruit. You see, there was no depth. How deep are your roots in the Word of God? How deep? Are they just a superficial establishing in the Word? Or are you deep in the Word? Do your roots go deep? Do they draw the richness of God's love and God's grace for you from the Word of God? Or are you a shallow believer, and are you going to wither with the trials and the temptations and the things that come along in life? There was another seed that fell among thorns. And the seed grew up and it started to produce fruit, but thorns grew up with it. And the thorns wrapped around the plant and choked it. And it brought forth no fruit. Jesus said the thorns are the cares and the deceitfulness and the riches of this life. How many of you tonight are being choked out in your relationship to God through His Word because of the cares and the worries and the deceitfulness and the riches and the things of this life? Well, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to study the Word of God. Well, then you better make time. Are you going to wither? You're going to waste. You're going to fade away. You must get your roots deep in God's Word in order that you might flourish. The fourth thing we see in this psalm that the Word of God can do for us is in the end of verse 3, and that is, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, don't you want to prosper? Don't you want to have everything you do prosper from the Lord? Now, this isn't necessarily meaning you're going to be rich. This doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a lot of money. Drive a real nice car and live in a real nice house. So don't get freaked out here. Oh, hallelujah. John just gave me the formula for prosperity. I'm going to buy me a house, you know, that I've been wanting. No, it is spiritual prosperity primarily. But there is that truth that when I obey God and I follow His Word and His precepts and I'm meditating in His Word and I'm keeping in the conditions that I'll see in just a minute here in this psalm, hey, I'm going to prosper on my job. I'll prosper with my friends. I handle relationships the way God wants me to. I'm the husband God wants me, the wife God wants me, the student God wants me, the worker God wants me. And you know what? The natural result is you're going to prosper. You take the Scripture and you apply it in your life and you will prosper. It doesn't mean everyone's going to love you. It doesn't mean everything's going to go smooth, but you'll prosper. God will bless you. You know, there are so many times that I have people come for counseling and I'm sitting there talking to them and, you know, they're all their problems and the things in their lives, and I've seen a lot of real messed up lives over the years. And my heart goes out to them and I think, you know, if at an early age someone would have given you a Bible and you would have started meditating in God's Word and reading God's Word and praying over God's Word and obeying God's Word, you would not be in the mess that you are in right now. Your life wouldn't be the shambles that it is right now if you simply would have given heed to God's Word. You know tonight, as you sit there, that there are problems that you have in your life because maybe at one point in the past you didn't do what God said you were to do, or you didn't follow God's Word, or you didn't give heed to God's Word, or you didn't, maybe you were ignorant of God's Word. And so the time to start is now. To say from this day forward, I'm going to meditate in God's Word. I'm going to give myself to God's Word. I'm going to get deep in God's Word. I'm going to get rooted in God's Word. And I want to be a happy person, a blessed person. I want to be a fruitful person. I want to be a person that doesn't fade. And I want to be a person that prospers. Now, as I said, there are conditions that we need to keep. Notice them in verse 1. The first is that I separate myself from sin and from the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. I'll tell you what, in order to activate these promises of God's blessing in your life through His Word, it needs to start with stop listening to ungodly counsel. Stop. You know, we listen to this guy and listen to that lady and listen to this thing and listen to that thing and listen to the voices of the world and all the ungodly garbage. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to them. Don't take their advice. Listen to the Lord. Listen to His Word. If you had just stopped listening to the ungodly counsel around you. Stop standing in the way of sinners, hanging out with the wrong crowd, listening to them, doing what they do. Then the next thing you find yourself is that you are seated in the seat of the, or you're seated in the seat of the scornful. You find you're mocking God and you're putting down the things of God and you're scorning those that are good and righteous and seeking to follow the Lord. You see, the progression is there. First, you're listening to their counsel, then you're standing around with them, and then you're sitting down with them. Don't do that. Just close your ears. Have a deaf ear to the things of the world, to the voice of the world. Don't hang out with the people of the world. Doesn't mean that you should isolate yourself and not seek to reach them, but there's no fellowship there anymore. What in common hath light with darkness, or Christ with Belial. So you're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not standing in the way of sinners. You're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now that's the negative, but here's the positive thing that you need to do in order to benefit. You need to delight in God's Word. Now it's interesting, the psalmist says, I delight in His law, or delights in His law. The word law there, I believe, is a reference to just the Bible, or the whole counsel of God, or the Word of God. It's not talking just about the Ten Commandments, but it's talking about God's law. You need to delight in God's Word. If you do not have a love for the Word of God, pray and ask Him to give you a love for His Word. But there's a third thing you need to do, and that is you need to meditate. Notice in verse 2, it says, but not only does he delight in the law of the Lord, but he meditates. How often does he meditate? Day and night. Now, what does it mean to meditate? It means a whole bunch of things. It means you read the Bible. You can't meditate on it if you don't read it. It means you think about it. You go over and over and over in your mind what you've read. It means you speak it. The word meditate actually has the idea of to mutter. You just quote it to yourself. You just repeat it in your head. You mutter the word. You repeat the word. You know, when a cow chews its cud, takes a bite of grass, and then it has that ability to bring it back up and chew it some more. That's what it means to meditate on the Word. You take a bite of a scripture and you chew on it for a while. A little mental gymnastics, you know. And you swallow it and then you bring it back up. You chew on it a little bit more. Have you ever taken a scripture that you read in the morning and just quoted it to yourself all through the day and thought about it and meditated on it and just said, Lord, how do I apply that to my life? Or maybe sang it or put it on a card and stuck it on your dashboard, or maybe put it on the refrigerator with all those groovy magnet things they have out today. And you just meditate on God's Word. It means to think, to study, to mutter, to just mill over, to just chew on God's Word. Now, we could do a whole study on what it means to meditate and how to meditate, but I believe that as you read the Word and as you study the Word, you memorize the Word, and you muse on it, you think about it throughout the day. What are you thinking about during the day? Your problems? Your lack of funds? Your poor health? Your grumpy husband? Your noisy kids? Or do you think about the Word of God? Meditate on the Word of God. When you take the time to meditate, you'll be blessed. You'll be happy. This man shall be blessed in all his ways. Now that's the condition that we need to meet. And as the result of meeting those conditions, God says you'll be happy, you'll be fruitful, you will not fade, and you will prosper. Let's pray.